What's up, everyone? This episode of the podcast is brought to you by More Labs. More Labs has an exceptional product in their morning recovery. They formulated this proprietary blend that helps you recover from a night out with the boys, the girls, the family, whoever you go out and drink with. This stuff will save you the next day. They 100% guarantee it. So if it doesn't work with your first order, shoot them a message. They'll refund your money. Good to go. But let me tell you, you try this stuff. I mean, we've tried it. It works. Our livers smile when we send this down our throat into our body. You guys have got to try it. Go over to our website, hwhpodcast.com. Scroll down to the bottom. You'll see the More Labs picture with the morning recovery. You can click on that, or you can click on the link, and that'll save you a discount on your order. Next, you didn't think I'd forget, did you? Of course not. K-Bar Soap. At this point, Christmas is literally right around the corner. And we can tell you, he will ship out your stuff within a few days. So you'll have it well before Christmas, even if you order now. No worries. This is the perfect gift for that friend. You know how you go out shopping, you're like, I got to buy my friend something. This is it. One-stop shop. And your friend will love you for it because it'll make their skin feel great. So shower with some freedom. Get yourself some K-Bar Soap. KBarSoapCo.com. And when you do, use code HELLBOUND because that's going to save you a discount on your entire order. For this week's episode, we sat down with Chris McCoy. He's a veteran and Army Ranger. He has a clothing company, Level 7 Apparel. And he's a fantastic artist. You got to go check out his work. Ladies and gentlemen, give a warm welcome to Chris McCoy. Hey.
Hey. Ah. Oh, here we go.
Chris, I think you're the first apparel company, right? So the first apparel company we've had.
Yeah. I think one of the onlys.
We haven't had an actual apparel company like it's Level 7 yet. So nice to have you on, man.
Thank you. I feel honored to be the first apparel guy on your podcast.
I found you through my buddy Derek, and he was promoting your business through his Facebook. I was like, I got to get this guy on the show.
Derek's a good dude. I've had some crazy adventures with him before, actually.
Me too. Yeah.
I think he's one of those kind of guys, you know, like attracts like.
Are you from the Western New York area? Where did you originate?
I'm from Baltimore City. I'm straight Baltimore to the bone for all the good and bad that encompasses. And I lived on the West Coast for a while, and now I am in New Jersey for work. So
okay,
I'm very much an East Coast dude. Lived on the West Coast for a while when I was in the military, but yeah, I'm a Baltimore guy.
I hear you. West Coast is a different vibe.
It's, you know, it's a thing. Shout out to all the West Coast people, PNW.
So what took you out to the West Coast? The military?
Yeah, I was in the military. I was a Ranger. I was out there in Second Bat in Fort Lewis. Had a bunch of wild adventures out there too.
Ah, you were a Ranger.
Yeah.
You're badass.
I was a Ranger, yeah. Let's put it that way.
Oh, that's fucking great.
And for those listening, I wasn't somebody who went to Ranger school. I was actively serving in the 75th Ranger Regiment in 2nd Battalion.
Gotcha. So how many times did you deploy?
Three. I did Afghanistan twice. Wow. And Iraq once. Yeah, that was like mid-early GWAT.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for doing that for us. Yes. We appreciate it. I know you guys don't always, I mean, lately it seems like you guys get more of the credit you deserve because of our fearless leader and among other things, but thank you for doing that for us. So what got you into apparel? What was the drive? I mean, there's boatloads and boatloads of apparel companies across the country. What made you make the decision to make the hop into it and say, you know what, I'm going to throw my hat in the ring here?
Well, I've been a graffiti artist for like 23 or 24 years now, like a real serious graffiti artist. Like, you know, I paint murals and, I've traveled to paint and, you know, I'm an artist. I'm like a, you know, for a little bit of time, I was a working artist, but you know, I'm a fairly proficient artist and like fairly prolific and I'm always creating something and, kind of always had, you know, I'm always coming up with like designs and things I'm doing on my own. And, I've gotten a lot of feedback for some of the designs and drawings and pieces of artwork that I've made over time. And I've had people approach me hundreds of times like, oh, you should make this a t-shirt or, oh, you should do this for tattooing or something like that. And, I finally had an opportunity, I guess like financially and plus like where my head is at to like, start up something with a host, another ranger owned business and, started up Level 7, kind of small right now, just going off with like some hats, shirts, canvases, prints and things like that. But it's all, stuff that comes from, you know, my long, long career as a graffiti artist and as a, you know, as a veteran.
Yeah, I think that's great. I mean, I think it's great too that you design all your own stuff. You know, a lot of these other guys hire the artist. So it's not really from the heart. It's just, you know, somebody else is doing the work for them.
Yeah. I mean, I'm honestly not in it for the apparel. Like all this stuff that is on the shirts, like it's all stuff that I just do anyway on my own. You know what I mean? Like I've always been an artist and like finally, after a long period of time, I think some people think money first. And my thought process was backwards, you know, like I just want to make stuff and design stuff. And people have been pushing me towards starting something up and finally said, hey, man, it can't be that hard. How many t-shirt companies are out there, you know, like.
Yeah, right.
But I think that may drive you to success in the future as well, because, you know, a lot of people do it for the money. And you see it all the time, whether it's a podcast, whether it's an apparel company. Whatever your business is nowadays, it seems like people want it now, right? They want it to make money. And if you're doing it just to do it and having that attitude of no expectations will probably bring you a lot more success than you'd actually realize in the long run, you know?
That's what I keep hearing, right? I keep hearing that about, and you know, I'm friends with some other apparel owners and things like that. And I keep hearing like, oh man, the honest approach is the best way. You just got to give time, let it grow. And like, honestly, I would do this even if I wasn't, if there was no money involved, I would be doing this anyway, because I was doing this anyway beforehand. And I think my motivation is probably a little bit different than other people's. Like, you know, in graffiti and street art and being a ranger and, you know, just, and you guys can understand too, I think from your profession, like you just have a need to just want to be better. You know what I mean? I just want to be better than the next dude at this thing. And like, right. I think that kind of translates to like what I'm doing with the clothing and the shirts. Like, it's not about money to me. I just want to put out something that's like dope. Like, I don't really care about the designs or like the sales or anything. I just want people to look at my shit and be like, damn, dude, that shit is dope. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like the only thing that matters. Is it authentic? Dope.
Well, when did you learn that you had this talent? Like, did you just start drawing at I think, from the people that I know that have had or discovered like an artistic talent, they realized it relatively young, like in their 10, 11, 12 years old, they start drawing and mom comes over the table and like, holy shit, Chris, that's a good sunflower or whatever. When did you realize like you had that talent?
Well, I mean, I just like all little kids, all people who do art, like, yeah, I was drawing when I was a little kid, blah, blah, blah. Like I wasn't really raised in I grew up in a very difficult family situation. So there was definitely not put the fucking artwork on the refrigerator or, you know, go to art classes or any of that shit. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I had a little bit of a talent for it. And then honestly, what happened was when I was in my late teens, I was living with my grandmother. So my home situation stabilized a lot. And,
okay.
I saw a couple crazy documentaries. Do you guys remember PBS? You guys remember like before?
Oh, yeah. Cable, PBS? Yeah. Yep.
So for those of you out listening who might not remember, PBS used to be this like sort of like public access show that was like before the days of cable, it came on and they played like documentaries and boring shit. And like, one night on PBS, they had a marathon. You guys remember they would do marathons where they'd play the same shit like 8 times in a row.
Oh, yeah.
So they had a marathon and they played Style Wars and they played Wild Style and Beach Street like back to back to back. They had like a little marathon. It was all about like New York hip hop and graffiti. And I watched this. I happened to watch this marathon all weekend and it like blew my mind. I was like, oh my God, there's like dudes who go out there in the middle of the night with spray paint and they just paint whatever they want, wherever they want. And as a teenager, I thought that was I just thought that like blew my mind. I was like, it totally restructured the way that I looked at artwork. I was like, I don't have to go to a class. Mm-hmm. I don't have to have some like boring old fuck tell me how to draw the dog. And like, I don't have to like take some stupid class. I don't have to buy a book from Michaels about perspective and I don't need these pens. You know what I mean? Like I can just go out and do this wherever I want. And, it just completely blew my mind. And so I immersed myself in the world of graffiti art and like learning to draw and letters. And like that turns into like, people think that graffiti is just, you know, being a bastard and tagging your name on stuff. And I guess there's an element of that, but it was like in a couple hours, I was like a nuclear bomb hit me. And I just realized that there was a whole different way to do artwork. And then you take that and you mix it with an insanely competitive drive. And then it just all took off from there. You know, I haven't stopped since.
You know? Yeah. You like become obsessed with it.
Well, when I was younger, I was definitely obsessed with it. I mean, my motivation to paint was like, I can't even put it into words. My motivation to paint things was probably as high as yours ever was to like, you know, be a fireman. Like mm-hmm. it was life consuming like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You guys probably know as you get older, you kind of mellow with it and then you build a relationship with something. And then like you kind of filter out the bad shit and focus on the good stuff. You know, obviously I'm not out painting, tagging shit and getting locked up or anything like that. But the positive part, I've become a pretty dynamic, well-rounded artist. I feel like there's almost no medium that I'm not familiar with. I don't work in gouache. Right. Other than gouache, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm pretty well-rounded. You know what I mean? It's like you go into this art form that's dynamic and it teaches you something new all the time if you want to, you know what I mean? If you want to be taught by it.
Right.
See, I heard you bring up PBS and stuff and I thought you're going to drop Bob Ross's name down.
Yeah.
Bob Ross was dope and Bob Ross.
We're going to put a little tree here.
Yeah. Hey, shout out to Bob Ross, who was also a Marine Corps combat vet.
Yes,
yeah,
he was.
And a legit, put a stamp on it. Bob Ross was a bad motherfucker. And like,
yeah, he was.
You know, when you're young, you feel sort of like that grandfatherly calm vibe from him. And then you get a little bit older and you learn his background and you can't help but admire the guy, you know?
Motherfucker was slaying bodies and shit. And here he gets on with the stupid music in the background.
Yeah. He's a dope artist too, man.
Yeah,
he was. But I think, you know, you made a comment about graffiti being maybe like, I don't know if you want to call it taboo or not, but I think that's changed a little bit in society, the viewpoint of graffiti art.
Absolutely.
You know, like tattoos have over time, because, you know, when I was young, you got a tattoo. That was kind of like taboo, right? And now people are covered head to toe in the fucking things and it's A-okay. It's actually cool. Now you see cities in municipalities paying people like you to draw murals and graffiti murals to beautify space.
And people like them.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I mean, just regular people see them and like, wow, that's great. Dude, when I started doing graffiti in like 94, 95, winter 94, and people fucking hated it, dude. I mean, hated it until I was probably maybe surely within the last decade. I can't even tell you how many times, I can't count how many times I've had people tell me like, you know, you should give up that bullshit and do real artwork. Like, I mean, I've heard people tell me that I should do real artwork just in the last couple of years. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you should do real artwork as opposed to like going out and doing like gigantic murals and getting paid for it.
Right.
Like, you should do real art. I don't know. I guess they want to draw apples in a bowl or something.
I was just about to say people's perspective of art are different. Each person's, like Kevin was saying, somebody could look at tattoos and they can look at that as art. You know, the murals in the city, that's art. You know, it's whatever the, and I think that's the great thing about art is it's in the eye of the beholder. It doesn't mean one thing to everybody.
And that's one of the few positives, I think, in this sort of like social media digital revolution we have. People are probably, the average human being is exposed to probably 100 to 100,000 times more artwork than they were, you know, like just 20 years ago. Whereas I think 20 years ago, artwork was just like something that you saw in a boring ass book at school.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And you might see an image or two and be like, oh, that's kind of cool. But now we're visually bombarded all day long. And for all the negatives of that, you have people that are kind of growing up in a generation where they're exposed to artwork and like seeing new stimuli and things that look different are like cool. So when I was coming up, it was, what the fuck does that say? What is that supposed to be? I'm like, oh, well, it's my name. And I'm, you know, I'm doing the letters like funky. They're like, That's stupid. Why would you even fucking do it with spray paint? That's ridiculous. I use that to like paint my lawn chairs. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you get to a point where you're good. And then some people are like, oh, wow, that's kind of neat. But you should still be drawing apples in a fucking bowl. You know what I mean? Right. And then it gets, you know, and then you find other people like tattooers are always like, oh, you're a graffiti artist? That's fucking dope, dude. I do letters too, blah, blah, blah. And now, honestly, I'm just going to keep it unabashed. The only people now that I meet that don't like graffiti are like fucking dorks. You know what I mean? Like, I meet some people who are fucking weirdos. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
your average person is like, oh, you paint murals? I'm like, yeah, I do graffiti art. They're like, oh, that's kind of cool. Wow, I've seen that in whatever city I'm from or blah, blah, blah. But now the only people that like are like, graffiti, what is that? They're fucking dorks. Like, fuck you. I don't care. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
they're probably the same people who fuck missionary and don't have tattoos. And
Well, you know what? I look at it as, you know, those dorks think I'm a dork because I can't go into an art gallery and look at two lines on a mural on a wall and get this artistic value out of it. Like I see, and I'm not saying this just because you're on, Chris. I mean, that's just me. I look at your artwork on your website and I'm like, man, that is cool shit. I can look at it and see different stuff out of it. And I can see, you know, a little bit or develop my own meaning about it. But if I go into an art gallery and I look at this fucking piece of art on the wall, you know, with, you know, like next to fucking grandma with her cheese and wine, I just can't see that art where other people can. But I'm also the type of person that isn't going to judge or criticize that person because they can see something I can't. And I think that's what sets us apart as people, is we can value their opinion and say, you know what, you see it, I don't, and go our way, where they look at your graffiti or your artwork as graffiti and say, well, that looks like shit. I mean, that's stupid. But why devalue your artistic talent?
Well, I mean, you know, I think this is like a really complicated question. We could go down a long rabbit hole with this, right? And this is something that I've spent untold thousands of hours thinking about, right? But I honestly think that, in a way to say it, I honestly think that people's opinions on artwork generally are really a reflection on what their sort of mind state or place in life is. You can take somebody that's got no appreciation for artwork. You could take, I don't know, like you take like a coal miner in West Virginia, right? Like a dude who's, you know, you would think has no appreciation for art. If that dude is like a miserable son of a bitch, he's going to think everything is stupid and everything is ignorant and like, I don't get this. And two lions fucking, who cares about that? And look at that stupid bowl with cheese in it and graffiti and da da da. You know what I mean? But you can take the same dude. And if he's like in a positive place in life, he's probably going to say exactly what you said. Like, hey man, I might not get it, but I can appreciate that. You know what I mean? So it's kind of crazy because I've been confronted with this like continually through my whole life because I do something that's kind of like niche or weird or whatever. And it really is like, you know, if you can get some old fuddy duddy person, you know, so you could get an old Christian pastor from the Midwest. And if that person's in a positive frame of mind just about their life in general, generally they're going to see something that's new to them and be like, oh, well, I don't really get that, but you know what? That's cool. Go for it, man.
Right.
You know what I mean? A lot of people today, honestly, are just miserable fucks. And they make themselves feel a tiny bit better by denigrating the shit around them. And like, usually people like to do that. It's not just artwork, man. They're going to talk shit about food or like social shit or your car or just like whatever they can. It's just, it's not about the artwork. It's kind of people's mindset. And that's one of those things. Like if you're in a good mindset, you can generally see new shit that inspires you or you think is cool or whatever. Like that's super, super, abstract, you know, MoMA type stuff that you were referring to earlier. Like, I don't like that shit either, man. You know what I mean?
Right.
I think a lot of that new stuff is like really like cheap and cop out, but I don't hate on the people who do it. You know, they probably have their thoughts about it. You know what I mean? I really do respect like still life. I actually really do respect the guys who paint apples and bowls and stuff. Cause that's not right. What I do. Mm-hmm. I kind of wish I was better at it. You know what I mean? But
I mean, yeah, it's all about fucking apples and bowls. I mean, right. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You can only go so far with that, but you go even further than apparel on your website. You've got some canvases as well. So you've taken this even a little bit of a step further to sell your artwork.
Yeah. I mean, I peddle my wares on my site. I've got some canvases. Like, you know, I have a rep in the graffiti world for being like a technical graffiti art painter. And I do some stuff with spray paint and I do tricks of light and things like that. And people, you know, I'm considered a technically accomplished good graffiti artist, but, I also do, graphic comic style illustrative prints. And that's something that I'm really into. I'm really, here's my nerd moment. I'm really, really into space opera comics. If it's like a comic from the 70s that has to do with like deep space, like I'm in. There's a lot of illustrative stuff on there. A lot of that just kind of reflects who I am, man. I'm really into the weird space comics, man. So you're, you know, you check out the website, you're going to see some Thanos and some Silver Surfer and appropriately themed things on there.
Yeah, I see that. Silver Surfer, Lord Thanos.
Some Red Man.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. I was thinking about maybe that one for our studio, Sully.
Yeah.
Well, I'm in New Jersey and, you know, I work in Newark, which is where Red Man is from. So I figured I had to do a Red Man tribute now that I moved up here.
Now, I know you said before you had people recommending to you maybe get into tattooing or whatever. Did you ever think about going into that line?
That's another complicated question. I not only thought about it, but I was offered a job in Sacramento tattooing. And it would have required a pretty big move and a pretty big leap of faith. And I'm heavily tattooed myself. Like most, I have a lot of friends that are tattoo artists. And it's something, you know, I'm somebody who's, I guess you could say I'm adjacent to the culture. I'm definitely familiar with the culture. And like, it's just, I don't know. I never got into it. I have a lot of weird thoughts about my artwork. You know what I mean? I think I'm one of those people who could never do it as a job because I'm kind of a callous, mean person when it comes to people's opinions on artwork. I don't, you know what I mean? Like, I'm a pretty generally sunny, friendly person, but you know, when it comes to having people, I don't know, I just don't think I have that customer service thing in me when it comes to like doing custom artwork pieces for people's skin that's going to be on them forever. Like, just blast me up forever, man. You know what I mean? Yeah. But I'm not, I don't know. I just don't want
to. You'd almost feel like if somebody came to you with some artwork, you might not be able to provide them. You might have a different thought process than they do on that.
I certainly would be like the eye roll thing, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
what you want? No, dude, I'm not gonna do a fucking unicorn jumping through
another like, fucking sunflower above your butt crack.
Right, exactly. I'm sorry.
That's a big responsibility too, though. Like, I don't know if I could do that, like tattoo people. Like, I love tattoos, I have some myself. But that's going to feel like a huge responsibility to ink somebody.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, it is a little bit about fear and confidence. You know what I mean? Like, I love like dirty Hesher punched in fucked up garage tattoos. I love that shit. But like for me, like I'm kind of a perfectionist when it comes to artwork and stuff. I know how painful the growing process was being a graffiti artist. And a lot of tattoo artists are graffiti artists actually too, or former graffiti artists, because you learn everything possible about typography and lettering and things like that. And that's a big part of the tattoo world. But me, I don't know, like it was such a long, hard grind. I thought to like, you know, build up through graffiti, tattooing, taking on a whole new frame like that. I don't know. It's cool for a lot of people, but for me, I'm just like, I'm trying to just, you know, get that 9 to 5 with my dog and like do art on the side. You know what I mean? Like, it's just,
I hear
everyone's got a different approach. You know what I mean?
It almost sounds like, and Sully, if I had, have talked about this before, it almost sounds like it might be an outlet for you. Like, this podcast is an outlet for us. So we've got our full time gig, and you kind of use it as, sounds to me like you use a little bit of therapy.
Oh my God. That 1,000,000%. Like, I can't agree with that even more, man. Like, when I was younger, I grew up in kind of a difficult scenario. And like with graffiti, I found out, dude, I can go out and fucking paint my name on shit. And people will see it and then tell me that it's cool. You know what I mean? Like when you take like a poor kid who grew up in a tough environment and then all of a sudden people riding around their Jeeps see your artwork and then tell you how badass it is. That's like a drug that can't be replicated. And then like, it's like a contest. Like I can get better. I cannot just get better at this, but I can get better than you at this. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And I can get better at this by going out. I'm the one who makes the rules. I can get infinitely good at this just by going out and having the balls to do it.
Right.
So it just nurtured that massive competitive drive to just be better. And then now that I get older, I don't want to sound all, you know, mopey vet, but when I came home from overseas, like I was pretty fucked up, man. Like,
right.
I've done real shit. Like I've been in the real shit. I wasn't in a fucking fob somewhere putting gas in like trucks. Like I've been in very direct, intense combat and, you know, the height of the war. I was in Ramadi in 05 and 06. And like, you know, I was in Afghanistan early in the war. So I've done some real shit. So when I came home, carrying all that tension, all that shit inside of me. I came home and like struggled when I came home, piece of shit job, you know, like muddling through life, going through a lot of like intense things a lot of vets go through. And I quit graffiti actually for about 8 years.
Okay.
Cause when I was in the military, I took it as seriously as anything. Anybody can take anything. There was no graffiti. There was nothing but being a ranger. And when I came home, all of a sudden I was like, oh man, this kid shit that I used to do is still fun to do. And oh my God, I'm actually still pretty good at it. And then there was like another sort of like explosion, and it really was an outlet because like all that frustration, all that bullshit, all that like sheer anger you're carrying around inside, like I could just go out in the middle of the night and do something that's not only artistic, but think about it. It's physical. You know what I mean? I'm going out, walking my ass off with a heavy bag somewhere, climbing fences. I'm gaining access into places that maybe I should or shouldn't be in.
Yeah.
And spending a few hours painting something that's super dope. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Instead of just doing that once or twice, I started doing that hundreds of thousands of times.
Yeah.
And it got to the point where I did this so much for me that like I kind of gained a lot of notoriety in the graffiti world, because not just it got to a point where it just wasn't people in Baltimore looking at my stuff and being like, wow, that's cool. Like people from other cities and then magazines and, you know, like internet and da 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 were seeing my stuff and be like, wow, this shit is dope. Like this guy, because I was doing something a little bit different than other people. Yep. And like for all the rage and intensity and anger, I generally paint a lot of playful type of subjects.
Right.
So your average person was seeing what I was painting and they were like, oh, wow, it's fucking Cheech and Chong. That's crazy. This guy did, you know, like a Cheech and Chong mural on a train. Or like, oh, wait, is that, you know, like crazy shit.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things we all struggle with, especially in these career fields, whether it be military, law enforcement, firefighting, or EMS, is like, when we're in it, we're in it 100%.
Oh.
And then when we step away from it, it almost feels like we lost our sense of purpose. And then we're so much more than that. You know, we're creative artists. We're podcasters. We're, you know, workout enthusiasts. We're, you know, we just got to redirect that and put it towards positive. And it sounds like you're doing a fantastic job with that. And sounds like you revitalized your passion and your love again for art.
Well, yeah, I mean, that was positive. It, you know, it's not all fucking pink glitter and fucking rainbows, dude. I mean, there was a lot of negative shit involved in it too, you know what I mean? Because
absolutely.
I think that guys like us don't have a throttle. It's binary. We're either fucking on or we're fucked out. I'm not doing it. You know what I mean? Like, I only have one speed, and that speed is as hard as I can fucking humanly do something, or I'm like a lazy turd who's not going to fuck with it at all. You know what I mean? Like it's binary. And I think like some dudes and generally dudes who are drawn to like military, LEO, EMS, especially fire, are dudes that have that thing in them that makes you maniacally self-competitive. You know what
Absolutely.
I mean?
Absolutely.
And it makes you willing to take risks. Not just socially, but like with your fucking body that other people just aren't going to take. And it's not like, and I know you guys can get this. People will be like, oh, well, you're so brave. But deep down inside, like, you know, you're not brave. It's just some shit you're doing because that's how you're fucking programmed. Like somewhere in your brain software, that genetic code is in there that just makes you maniac competitive with yourself about the
Correct.
Thing.
Mm-hmm.
And like really hard to like explain that to people who don't get it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm going to be honest with you. I've done shit in graffiti that was not as, but like I've done stuff in graffiti art that's like really legitimately stressful and terrifying. You know what I mean?
Right.
Not like the war, but I mean, like some crazy shit. And I didn't do it because I was brave. I mean, there's no bravery in going out and climbing a fucking water tower 13 stories high with like a fucking, you know, pair of like bowl cutters on your back.
Yeah.
Just so I can paint like a Harry Potter character next to my name, you know?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Don't bring fucking Harry Potter up around my kids.
Right. That's like maniacally stupid, right? But then like, but still, it's just that gene thing in me that made me do that. And like for you guys, I mean, I'm sure there have been times where you've made a decision where you were fighting a fire that could have gone horrifyingly sideways. And it didn't just because of like, you know, the sheer luck or golden horseshoe that was up your ass. And like afterwards, people are like, oh my God, that was so brave. And you're like, well, that wasn't brave. It was just some shit I did because I was in the moment. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
being right on that edge of the moment. There's something about it.
Well, I think there's a couple points here, Chris, that Soli hit on, and it's funny that you made comments, Sol, because I was thinking the same exact thing you just said of Chris and of ourselves. And I got to give kudos to Chris because it's, I don't want to say it's rare, but I know, in speaking with many veteran friends, that it's a difficult transition to come back from being in combat. In combat, we're not talking about, like you said, Chris, going over and fueling trucks and shit like that. I mean, you were head to head. And to make that transition to come back, a lot of people turn to alcohol or they turn to drugs. And I think finding your niche again in love for art helped you make that transition back. So that's the first point, and I give you a lot of kudos for that. The second point is off what you just made. There's a lot of things and people in this world that will comment to us, whether you're a military, law enforcement, or firefighter, that they'll say, oh, you're so brave, like you said. But everyone needs to realize there is fear. You have to have fear. Anybody that tells you that's been in the military, in the fire service, in law enforcement, that weren't in a position that they weren't a little scared or had fear is fucking lying. Because fear is what saves your ass most of the time.
And if you do something where fear is involved, like if you're passionate about something and there is a legitimate piece of danger or fear involved, that's what's going to make you really fucking good at it. Because then there's something actually in stake. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I could sit here in my house and fucking play video games all the time or whatever. Not to denigrate gamers. Like I'm a gamer too, but like, when you do something that's physical and there's actual danger involved, then that means you've already separated yourself from 99.999% of the population. You know what I mean? Right. That means you're doing something that's really, really serious and different. And like anything that there's fear involved, it requires fear and sacrifice. To like fear is a form of sacrifice and it requires that to be really good at something. Like really good at something.
Yeah, I think that's what differentiates us from others in society is the fact that we have that fear. And I hold you guys in the military to a little bit of a higher degree because I should say military and law enforcement, because your fear could mean life or death in almost every situation you encounter, where ours is a little bit less of a percentage. But we have the capacity to be able to take that fear and turn it around into a thought process. So yeah, we might be scared, but we're able to turn that fear around and actually use it to our advantage. And I think that's what separates us.
It becomes a state of like, it sounds weird. And like people listening who don't relate are going to think it sounds like some hoodoo shit, but like it really, really, really turns into like a state of like perfect Zen concentration. It's not even concentration. It's like a state of perfect perception. Like everything is moving a little slower. You can see and smell and hear everything. It's hard to explain. Like it's sort of like time dilation almost. I think of things that I've done in the military where like explosions were going off or like there was gunfighting going on or like setting a charge on a door and going into a house and things like that. Like I can still remember it in like slow motion. You know what I mean? Like it's hard to explain. Like when something is happening that's that serious, it's like this weird state of like being that comes over you. I don't know how to explain it. I wouldn't even know what the terms are.
Yeah, it's almost like an out-of-body experience almost.
It is a little bit. Yeah. Like honestly, that's a real way to put it. It's like everything slows down. Here's a good example. I was in a really bad shootout in Al Qaim on the Syrian border, like in 2006, with a whole bunch of guys and a whole bunch of bad guys. And like, it was definitely, you know, it was ended with a bomb being dropped. And it was like, there's a lot of gunfire exchanged. And I was running up a wadi with broken shale and broken rocks all over the place. And rounds are snapping around and stuff. And I can remember, like, I can remember the way each of my toes felt inside of my boot. You know, like as I take a step and like you're running, everything is like half speed. You know what I mean? I can still remember like the way that my, I can still remember like the smell of body odor coming out of like my kit that I'm wearing. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I can still remember like beads of sweat trickling like behind my iPro and stuff. Like it's weird. And I'm sure you probably have had experiences like in a fire where things got really fucking hectic, where you can remember like maybe the feel of your fingers in your gloves, or like, you know, the way the axe felt in your hand, or like, it's crazy. And like, I'm not gonna lie, like I've probably done every drug known to humanity,
right?
Every psychedelic. There's no experience like that. There's no drug experience. There's no physical experience. There's no, maybe, I don't know, maybe there's some religious or spiritual experience like that. I don't know. But I've had the gamut of experiences, both natural and exogenic, in my life, and I've never experienced anything like that.
No, what I relate it back to, and I don't know if this is going to be, if this is like nerdy or not, but have you ever seen the movie For the Love of the Game with Kevin Costner? It's a baseball movie.
I'm a huge baseball fan, and I've probably seen Bull Durham 70,000 times, but I've not seen For Love of the Game.
Okay, so For Love of the Game, Kevin Costner has a problem focusing, and he's in like the World Series game, and this is to win it all. And what he says to himself is, and he got this from his psychologist, is clear the mechanism. And basically what he's telling himself is to block everything else out. And it's not saying don't be aware of your surroundings, because we all have to be aware of our surroundings, but there's an intent, there's a focus on what you need to do in that moment, in of the highest stress possible you can possibly imagine. I mean, we're not talking about having to get your fucking kid off to school and shovel in the driveway, and then you got to go grocery shopping. We're talking about very, very high stressful situations. And we essentially clear the mechanism. We get rid of all the bullshit. No matter how bad of a day Sully, I, or you, Chris, were having on a particular day in a particular moment, we needed to clear the mechanism. We needed to free our mind of all the bullshit that's happening in our lives, because if we don't, somebody is going to die.
Yeah.
I think that explains it real well. We're, again, another little attribute that we have. It takes special people to do, especially what you did in, you know, our brother Chris at K-Bar Soap, same thing. He's a Marine Corps veteran, was in battle, in the shit. You have that ability to focus out the rest of the bullshit and focus on your job, rework and reimagine and live out the training. This is what you've trained for, right? I've heard military veterans say that. I've heard firefighters. I've heard police. All kinds of people in our line say that. This is what we do this job for. And we're able to clear the mechanism. We're able to get rid of the bullshit, focus on the task at hand, get the job done, and walk away knowing we did our best for what we could do, and that's that.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. I think it does take a kind of specific person. And I don't think it, you know, it's not like, you don't need to be some alpha male or like, you know, some stereotypical whatever. But I think certain people, they could be men or women, you know what I mean? Men, women, service people, whoever, like some people are just born with a thing inside of them that allows them to get to that place. And I think soldiers in LEO and fire and things like that are more pushed into that position.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But it's out there. It's definitely a feature of the human, you know, state of condition. And, I think that at least for having been a soldier in battle, it's like a really awesome thing, and it's really horrible thing, because it's really awesome that I've had not the experience of being in combat, but like the experience of having my mind and body work
right
in such a state. But it sucks because I'll never like get back to that. You know what I mean? I'll never experience that again. I will hopefully never experience that again. But it's something that stays with you because like it's such a profound experience. You know what I mean? And like every vet and every dude out there has their different experience and way to look at things. And a lot of people, like, people get real deep with it. And some people think it's all hocus pocus, but like the end state is, if you've been in a real situation like that, you'll literally never forget it. I mean, that's painted on mine and yours
yeah.
and other people we know's memories until like the day we die, literally.
It is. And like we said at the beginning of this episode, your form of outlet may be your art, our form of outlet may be our art and podcasting. And it's therapy for us to be able to talk. And, you know, I said it throughout this podcast and creating this, I was never really an open person. I was closed. A lot of the stuff that I thought about and things that I thought I really didn't want anybody else to know about. I didn't want anybody to know Kevin except for the Kevin that I put out to them. And this has changed me as a person 1,000%. I look at life a little bit differently. I look at people a little bit differently. And, you know, it changes you for sure what we do. And to have an outlet, I think, is awesome. I think your artwork is absolutely amazing, Chris. And I hope you continue on with it. And where can people go and find you on social media or a website?
Well, you know, I kind of keep it low key too, man. It's very simple. You can go to Instagram at Rock, R-O-K, Rock 275.
And, nice.
Got a little robust following on there. A lot of pop culture, graffiti art, nonsense, and humor. And kind of foraying into like a lot of video editing too. Cool. So if you like hip hop and war stuff, I'm your guy. And then obviously we can go to itslevel7.com. Itslevel7.com, one word. And that's where I'm at. I'm all up out there, man. And this has been a dope podcast, man. I'd love to come back.
Yeah, we'd love to have you back.
Dude, I'll tell you, I was going to make this a business spotlight episode, but I'm going to make this a regular podcast episode.
Sweet.
I was just thinking the same thing, Kev. I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah, because we had, and that's what I love about this, Chris. I have every intention, and I think I know Sully's the same. We have intentions of helping guys like you get out more and more. And are we huge? Absolutely not. But we have a good following. We have a loyal following, which we're appreciative of. But when you start creating content like we did today, and it morphs into what it morphs into, there's value there. And there's a ton of value and relatability in this episode that, you know, the business spotlights get listened to, but the podcast itself gets listened to more. And I think that's because of the day we drop it on, et cetera. So I am definitely going to release this as a regular podcast episode.
That's awesome.
And we love your story, Chris. And yeah, man, we'll definitely have you back on and catch up.
I was going to add something else, Kevin, too. Like, so the other thing I like about podcasting in this platform is it's very much like our career. We like to believe we're in control of the content or whatever situation we might be in. But in actuality, like, yeah, we could prefab questions to ask you and direct a show in whatever way it goes. But we're very much, I don't want to say shoot from the hip, but we just want to see where the experience will take us, and allowing this to be all natural and have an open dialogue with you. And I think that's one of our biggest strengths with this podcast, is because with our career, we can talk to anybody, you're a homeless guy on the side of the road or you're a millionaire. We just love that experience, and I think
you're some real ass dude, man.
And that's what we're all about. We're all about being ourselves and not prefabbing any questions or bullshitting people. We want people to be themselves. We want people to enjoy the experience. And
awesome. Well, yay, man. I love being here. And like, dude, everyone loves firemen. You know, like, who's not a
fireman? You know what I mean? We're the good guys.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like the last bastion of people in America that, like, don't get shit on. You know what I mean? Like, nobody likes graffiti writers. You know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah. Well, we do, Chris, and we love your stuff and we love your art. And guys, go check out Chris's artwork. It is truly amazing. Chris, again, thanks for joining us, and we will we'll stay in touch. We'll get you back on, brother.
For sure, man.
Awesome. I'd love to do it anytime, man. Feel free to reach out. Rock 275, itslevel7.com.